Hey folks, you're listening to the Idea Roastery. I'm Jason.
And I'm Herman.
So, why do you like trees?
Why do I like trees? I mean, that's a good question to start us off with.
Yeah, of course. It's a big question.
So instead of why do I like trees, I think a more rounded question is why does everyone like trees? There's a thing called biophilia, and it is just like the love of natural things. So like the idea is that if you're inside of your apartment, right, and you want to make the space nicer, you can get plants and you put plants inside of your space. Now you can get fake plants, you can get plastic ones which look exactly the same if they're, you know, of a sufficient quality. And they don't require watering, and they don't require you to do anything except maybe dusting them off every now and then. However, no one wants to put plastic plants in their apartment. They'll want to have real plants. So it is a very non-utilitarian thing to want real plants in our apartment. But we like real plants because humans are inherently attracted to natural things. That's why we go on hikes. That's why we are amazed at like the sunset of the ocean and forests. And so I guess, why do I like trees? I like trees because I'm human and we have an inclination towards living things.
Do you think lumberjacks like trees?
I mean, they like trees, but for different reasons.
They probably hate trees because they have to cut them down every day. But they do like the fresh air, I think.
I guess there's also like a difference between, you know, where it is you're doing. If you are like a forest management, like sustainable forest management type of thing, you actually really love trees, right?
Yeah.
But I guess if you are like a laborer at a company that is logging old growth forests, you kind of have to like distance yourself from it.
Well, trees mean money. So that if you like money, you like trees.
If you like money, you like trees.
In that industry. But more specifically, that's just a little bit of fun for the episode, because as you can tell, it's going to be a little bit more exciting. And one of the things that we really like to talk about on this podcast, I think even when we spurred up the first couple of episodes, it was because we read this book called Happy City. And in Happy City, it goes through the effect of cities on people's personalities and their whole sort of well-being. And when we both read that book, we couldn't stop talking about how to make our own cities better. And one of those ways that you can do it is by adding more greenery into your natural environment when you're going about your day-to-day business. So in the same sense that you spoke about having greenery inside of your home, having a lot of greenery outside is also beneficial in a number of ways. And I think specifically Cape Town, I think, is pretty okay on the spectrum.
It depends on where you are, but mostly so there aren't a lot of trees in Cape Town because we don't actually really have many native trees because it's Fynbos, it's a semi-arid region. But we do have some nice forests, although they are not ancient forests. They are in fact like gum and pine tree forests that were planted by the colonists, you know, 200-300 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, most trees do come from somewhere in Europe or the like, right? I was actually listening to an interesting podcast about coffee and how a lot of coffee plants actually just originated from this one coffee plant in Amsterdam.
Oh, interesting.
And how there was like, you know, different scallywags who were trying to steal branches and seeds from this one coffee plant and then take it to like, you know, the East Indies and Brazil to try and start up these plantations. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. And in Cape Town, we have a different type of flora that doesn't really support indigenous trees. We do have a number of indigenous types of trees. I think the yellowwoods are indigenous. The cedar tree is kind of a little bit indigenous. But you also come from Johannesburg, right? And how would you compare Johannesburg's sort of flora to Cape Town's? And especially in respect to the cities and trees, because I've heard it's like the concrete jungle of South Africa. And so would you agree with that?
So no, I actually disagree with that. Is that Johannesburg is by and large an industrial city. And naturally, that entire area pre-industrialization was just grasslands, right? Just a veldt, which is essentially just a certain kind of grass that just grows everywhere. And very, very few trees. Now, currently, Johannesburg is known as the largest man-made forest. So if you take a look over the city of Johannesburg, it looks like a forest. You'll see a couple of towers poking out of it, especially in like Sandton Central and Joburg Central, but it's just trees as far as the eye can see, especially if you're there in spring and you get up somewhere high to have like a sundowner. Man, it's actually quite beautiful. Joburg, the city itself, like I'm not super thrilled by it, but it's got other systemic problems. However, when it comes to trees, Johannesburg is amazing, and it's like got an abundance of different trees. During the springtime, it looks beautiful because all of the jacaranda trees sort of start popping with purple flowers, and then different trees bloom at different times of year. But the reason for this is that back when we started mining, is we created these really big mine dumps all over Joburg. There's between 300 and 400 of them, and when the wind came through, it would kick up this dust that would cause people to start coughing, and it just turned Johannesburg into this like dusty industria. Now, recently we've realized that actually these mine dumps are toxic, because they've got a lot of heavy metals, but they also have a lot of ground up uranium. So they're actually radioactive as well. Interestingly enough, these mine dumps are more radioactive than most of the exclusion zone in Chernobyl.
Whoa.
Yeah. So what happens is wind comes through, and these mine dumps are a fine powder. It's not sand, it's like flour. Gets kicked up into the air and people inhale it and they get sick. And it irritates your mucous membranes, and it's just overall unpleasant. So the government, and this is, a good amount of time ago, said, okay, well, one way that we can deal with this is we can just plant a fuck ton of trees. And so that's what they did. This was a huge effort to just go and like line all of the streets and all of the parks and everything with trees that would grow into like very big sizable trees. And that's why you've got your, jacarandas and your pines and your gum trees and blah, 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 blah. And through that effort, it turned Johannesburg into the shady green city that it is, with caveats. It's only in the rich areas, or no, it's only in the middle class to rich areas that are tree covered. Is if you go into places like Hillbrow, not so much. And that kind of shows what the apartheid government's, priorities were when they started this tree planting project. However, the places where there are trees planted, they're delightful. Again, Johannesburg has systemic problems in other ways, but as far as tree cover goes, it's great. And so that's a little bit of background on why Joburg is now the world's largest man-made forest.
So it's mostly to prevent the kicking up of uranium dust, right?
Well,
And is that the only reason?
no. So it's mostly to do dust control for the mine dumps, or at least that was the initial intention. However, it also gets pretty hot over there, and trees create really good sun protection for people who are walking or outside. And they also create microclimates that are slightly more humid and slightly just more pleasant to be in. There's also a lot of good research that suggests that the aerosols that are given off by trees can create more ideal conditions for rain to fall. And also, when we inhale them, this is one of the theories behind biophilia. It like lights up part of our brains that are like, wow, I'm more relaxed and chilled and happy around trees. So all of these things, it's like trees are great. They provide sun protection. They provide a way to filter out pollution. They also deal with noise pollution, and they just make us feel good, right? So
Yeah.
that's why I like them in cities where we have these problems.
Walking around London, like one of the things that they really have nailed is that there is good good trees pretty much everywhere. And it does, I mean, especially the last summer going through a couple of heat waves and all of those kind of things, it does make such a difference to just when you're going for a walk, you've got some tree cover to protect you from that harsh sun. The thing about London that's different from Cape Town is that when it's hot, it's usually almost humid, and like there's hardly any wind, and so it's like a really unpleasant place to walk around. But then you do have the tree cover, which kind of acts as like a nice sort of barrier for the sun. The other factor that I've started to appreciate more is that it also provides a space for wildlife to inhabit. So there's,
Squirrels.
yeah, squirrels, but also birds, right? That can have a number of other effects. So there's a, I think it's the Natural History Museum is currently doing a study of insect life around roads. So when you have a busy road, what happens is that because there's so many vibrations and like fluctuations in the movement of air going past, you can actually get like a degradation of the amount of bug life that surrounds that road. So what that means is like especially things like bees, like insects, things that are like quite vital for pollination of even the tree, like the different plants around the area, that can be inhibited by a like just having a road with without that much sort of protection for those wildlife creatures. So the way that they've approached this is that they actually have this mechanism where they where you go out and you record the road like on your like phone, and then they'll isolate whether there's like certain types of insects and birds in that area, and that can be a way to kind of start to see the population of insects and birds around a particular road.
Nice.
But it goes to show that like just by having more trees and more sort of green space, it gives those animals and well creatures somewhere to actually live, and that is getting into another thing, which is like the having bees to pollinate plants, which in the countryside, yeah, we hear about this as a challenge, but even in an urban environment, there is still the need for bees and stuff to keep those plants thriving.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's also the fact that cropland, which a lot of forested area has been deforested to turn into, is it receives a lot of chemicals to manage pests. And in so doing, it also kills off a lot of insects and buggers. And so the nice thing about city trees and all that is that we're not spraying them with pesticides, right? Unless you're like, there was a period of time in Joburg where we were trying to control a wood borer population, and a whole bunch of trees had to get cut down to prevent the spread. And very, very sad, big old trees that were riddled with holes, and city was just going down and marking them and chopping them down. But bar that, it's a kind of free for all. There's birdies in the trees, there's insects, birds eat the insects. And it also gives birds a way to get away from cats.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing that you mentioned, which is re really like pertinent, is the you said that like, there's jacarandas that bloom at different times of the year. And one of the cool things about the UK, I guess, is that the seasons are very exaggerated, as it were. So like you definitely see the changing of the seasons when you walk around. So like recently, if you walk around London, you'll start to see that all of the trees have been like cut back.
Oh,
So
interesting.
they cut off all the leaves basically before they get like brown and drop. And then there are certain areas where you have like lots of like, autumn leaves on the floor. And what I think that does psychologically is, especially when you live in a city for a longer period of time, is that you start to feel more sort of
Yeah,
connected
like your
to
fingers on the
the
pulse.
environment. Exactly, because you can see, if you're going to work every day and you can see the change in the seasons, you see, oh, the trees are a little bit greener, a little bit blue, like sort of. Or you can see the buds, you can see the flowering of the plants. It actually it draws your attention, and I think it is a way to kind of bring a bit of sort of peace to your body because of that sort of biophilia, I think you called it,
Yeah.
is that We have a tendency to want to look at nature, and so it does give you an opportunity to see it even though you are going about your busy life. But the question I have is like, what, in some circumstances, there's not really that much space, right? So how do people go about getting to a place where you have more trees, right? Is it like a central planning thing, or is it just like I should just go and plant a tree in my sort of roadway or driveway
So that's
and
actually a
hopefully hope for
really
the
that's a
best?
really interesting question, because we're seeing a lot of cities recently focus a lot on city greening. One of the best examples is Singapore, where all developments have to have a certain amount of, or all new developments have to have a certain amount of space reserved for greenery. So you have these like skyscrapers that have tiers with trees and plants growing out of them. And walkways will have like vines crawling over them to protect from the sun and the rain. And that's all really cool. Paris is currently experimenting with adding more green space. And in this case, what it means is they're narrowing a few of the roads and then planting public gardens, or I wouldn't even call them public gardens, more like treed boulevards on the sides of roads. This is there's a secondary factor for this, and this is what they've been doing in the Netherlands for a while. By putting trees on the side of roads, the road for the driver feels a little bit more constricted, even though it's the same width, and so drivers actually slow down slightly. And so it also has the effect of making traffic safer for everyone engaged in there. And also, if someone loses control and they veer off the road, they're less likely to hit a pedestrian, because they're
But they will hit a
but
tree.
they'll hit a tree. They'll hit a tree, right?
Yeah.
So I think that all the instances of cities looking like shit, where it's just big old concrete jungles, it's a legislative problem. And all the instances of cities that look really nice, or have a lot of greenery like Joburg and like Singapore, it's legislative as well. So I don't think that this is a individual thing. It's kind of like recycling. You can go and you can recycle in your personal capacity, but in order to for it to actually have a difference in any reasonable sense, it needs to come from a legislative level. And so like let's talk about, what are some of the bigger challenges in greening a city, like Cape Town. How would you go about greening Cape Town better? Now keep in mind that Claremont, Rondebosch, Newlands side, there's a fairly treed city center, not so much. Sea Point, very.
It is a it's a challenging one because it does involve a number of factors, right? So you can't just plant any types of trees. I think that's growing up as a scout, you kind of learn that there's different types of trees, because I was like, oh, I love a pine forest, it's so nice to walk through there. And then people are like, yeah, but it sucks up so much water, and you like it doesn't give space for the indigenous plants to grow. So I th
And Cape Town's a water-stressed area.
it's the water stressed area, so you can't just go and like plant pine trees, right? Because that's not going to make a lot of good sense. So I think it also it's almost constrained by that in a sense that, like, we can't just have like large treed boulevards, right? I mean, maybe with certain types of trees.
Certain types of trees, for sure. So pine trees are. So we've got Newlands, which is a pine forest in Cape Town. However, it sits inside of a very. It sits inside of a microclimate because it's in a valley in Table Mountain, so it gets a lot of water, but more importantly, it's also protected from the wind. And as you know, Cape Town's wind is wild at times, and so those pine trees do not last very long if they're exposed to too much wind. They actually have a different shape in Cape Town compared to where they're grown elsewhere. The traditional shape of a pine tree, it looks kind of like a Christmas tree but taller, whereas in Cape Town it's just like long, thin trunk and then like a little bush at the top to catch as much sunlight as possible while reducing air resistance, which is pretty fascinating.
Getting the actual types of trees and types of flora right is the first part. I think the legislative part is maybe the challenge, right? It does take a little bit of I think coercing, I guess, if you're, I don't know how easy it is to influence mayors and stuff like that in Cape Town, but it would take, those kind of NGO societies are trying to work with the government and the local municipalities to try and implement those greenerization or greening activities. And so you do need to have like a little bit of that. And what I also think is missing is back in the day, and this is not like back in South Africa's day, but also those sorts of, you would get these like really rich fellas who would come and they would say, "I want to build a park." And they would build this like amazing sort of Richmond Park or like this huge sort of area. And they would like, put lots of trees and stuff and put lots of environmental things and like river, like water and ponds and stuff. And they'd make it into like a project. Eventually those get kind of like donated to the city kind of thing. But I don't think there's, I feel like that sort of can come back. I mean, if you think of someone who just buys like an open plots of ground, right? And they just say, "I'm going to convert this into like a little sort of park rather than a house." I think you could get to a certain point where you have more greenery. The other really cool thing that I've seen is that there's a lot more sort of greenery being introduced into architecture. So there's a building going up in Cape Town that I know about called the Fynbos or something, and there's one, it's called Bosco Verticale in I think it's in Italy, where it's got like loads of trees around the side of the building.
Yeah, so that's similar to how the buildings are built in Singapore currently. And it is very cool. It's that the Fynbos is being constructed within walking distance of my flat. So I'll watch it go up.
I mean, there's people saying like it's a bit weird having trees, and it adds a whole lot of other complexity in terms of like irrigation and like you got to have more architectural strength because you're holding up trees. But I think it's going to be more Fynbos bushes more than anything.
Which are native species to Cape Town. But that actually brings another interesting problem over here. So I believe this is in Phoenix, Arizona. They need more trees over there because it gets really, really hot and people die every summer due to heat stroke, et cetera, et cetera. However, they actually have a really hard time planting trees because of specific legislation around where trees can be planted. Like, it can't be planted within, let's say, I don't know the exact legislation, but within 20 meters of a driveway, and it can't be. And so with each of these different legislative things put in there, it just means that there are so few places that people can legally plant trees. Compounded on top of that, there's stuff that runs under cities, right? Your sewage lines, maintenance tunnels, fiber, electricity, and so you have to take into account the root system. So what this means is in these cities that really need big trees, the only trees that are getting planted are palm trees because palm trees have a very small root structure and they don't really interfere much with the surrounding buildings and stuff. The problem with palm trees is that they're like the least effective of the trees in doing all the things we've been talking about. They don't provide that much shade. They don't provide that much wind protection. If you're going to plant a tree, plant a
It's
nice
just gonna
bushy
make
tree.
your place look like Miami.
Exactly. One of the things that you can do is exactly what you said, is to support organizations who sit and do try and influence government to green cities. So in Cape Town, if you're listening to this from here, there's a organization called Green Pop that they try to set up community gardens in especially underfunded areas, as well as push for greenery inside of the city and also do some reforestation projects in the Eastern Cape, which is pretty neat. If you have a property with a nice garden and you don't have any trees in it, hey, plant a nice big tree, or plant a small tree. At some point, it'll be a big tree.
And also that's a big factor, right? Like I think bringing it back to what we spoke about almost at the beginning is that people like to have plants around their house, right? And I think you do see, I mean, if you do have like an apartment or something like that, that You can get like planters and put them on the side and, have stuff that's externally visible too. I don't know, like certain buildings I can imagine have, rules against having, balcony planters and those kind of things. But I think those kind of things need to be there, right? Where you have both like places where people stay have got lots of plants around it on the inside and the outside. And then also like things like restaurants are quite an easy one. If you do have a restaurant that kind of sits on a street, for instance, you could put lots of plants around it. There are some notable examples within Cape Town of like places that have gotten almost to the like nth degree in terms of having plants in their cafe. And those do actually add an element of that, right? It's like it doesn't have to be planted in the ground. It could also just be planted in a plant pot and put on the side of your house.
Yeah. And there's a good reason why I haven't really touched on people are always emphasizing that you should plant trees or get plants that are native to the area. And like I'm kind of on the fence about that is that again, Johannesburg is a great example. Those trees aren't native to Joburg, right? But we're surrounded by greenery over there that has a whole bunch of really great things as part of our design. Now, if you are trying to stimulate the insect population, stuff like that, yeah, you're going to want to plant local species. But if you're trying to provide some shade and stuff, especially in a place like Cape Town, hey, import some trees, get those up and running. They'll still be nice places for birdies.
Yeah, there's also a really nice there's a project that goes on in London is that they have like urban beekeepers. So one of the things if you specifically if you have flowers, right, they do actually need to be pollinated. It's not like a it's not unless it's f like the fake flowers you were talking about earlier or the fake
You
plants,
just
but
have like a whole bunch of really angry bees, like, what the fuck is this?
yeah, exactly. But what they do is they put like beehives on the top of buildings, so that the bees can still kind of have somewhere to call their home, but they can also like buzz around and cultivate the plant, sort of, I guess the diversity of the area, the biodiversity. So those kind of projects too could also be needed, and it's almost like a whole sort of ecosystem that needs to evolve around the idea of greening cities. And yeah, I think it's definitely possible, but there are a lot of constraints, right, that we have to get around in order to make it work.
Yeah, and I think all of those constraints are possible, and I get the feeling that the cities of the future are going to be more green because we're not stopping climate change. I think we've kind of accepted that this is we're
Whoa.
going to be warming for the next 100, 200 years, even if we completely stop emitting carbon entirely, which is highly unlikely. And so we're going to have to deal with a rapidly changing climate. And turns out trees are one of the ways to do that.
Hey, if you like this episode, there's three things that you can do to support us. The first is share it with someone who you think would love to hear us talk about trees for 30 minutes. The second thing is to give us a rating. It does help us to reach a wider audience. The last thing is you can get in touch with us. Spotify has the ability to add a comment. I'll put an email in the show description. So we'd love to hear from you.